Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Granick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. Merry Christmas, first and foremost. And a little quick background before we jump into the program. Growing up, I went to our grandmother's house in Lawrenceville in Gwinnett County. Of course, she's passed. Greatest woman I ever knew. Godly woman with a grateful spirit. And every Christmas, she would say, she would pause and say, "Let us remember why we're here. It's not the food and the presents. There's a greater meaning to all of this," and that always stuck with me growing up. And that's kind of the inspiration of the program today. We have Dr. Kevin Williams, pastor of First Baptist Church, Villarica, as our guest. So let me do a little intro. We're glad to have him back. He was previously with us early last year. Okay, he became pastor of First Baptist in September 2013, 11 years ago. Yeah. Right, is that right? My math okay? He's led over 300 of his church members to serve as volunteer missionaries while taking part in national and international missions himself. He's also been instrumental in helping Georgia Baptist pastors plant a dozen churches in Central America. In 2015, First Baptist planted and built a church in Guatemala, and that has continued to support, including the pastor's salary. New churches are being planted in Costa Rica. He's trustee of the International Board of Southern Baptist Convention, chairman of the Area Pacific, covering 2.5 billion people. Membership now in First Baptist, active members is 3,700. He served as president of the Georgia Baptist Convention. The LaGrange native, graduated from Central High School in Carrollton before earning an undergrad and two master's degrees from Liberty. He would go on to earn a Doctor of Ministry degree from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And before arriving at First Baptist Villarica, Kevin served as a youth pastor and associate pastor for 10 years at First Baptist in Douglasville with the U.S. Army Military Police. And at Cisco Foods in Atlanta. He's also been a high school football coach, youth pastor, and college pastor at two churches in North Carolina. His biggest claim to fame is doing football on Friday nights with Graddick Sports, of course. He's married with to his wife, Patrice. They got married in Tokyo in 1991. They've got four children, four grandchildren, and one who is expected. This is the best Christmas gift of all. We're going to talk about the Christ child. Another grandchild on the way day after Christmas.
That's what they say.
How about that? Isn't that great? Well, congratulations.
We're excited.
Grandpa.
I know. Number five. We're getting old.
Time passes. But it's great. Families are so important, and to build a family like that and then to be blessed to have some of your children working with you at the church. I mean, that's pretty good.
That's a blessing.
I want to kind of, as they say, reboot, refocus, just take a moment to, as we're all taking a breath now, because now we made it through the Christmas buying presents stage, and we've got the family situations lined up, and all of those issues have been resolved. We can take a breath and pause, and just as my grandmother would say, why are we celebrating Christmas? So if you would, as they say, the most important event in the history of mankind, when God came to earth and became flesh and walked the earth and was Emmanuel, God with us. So reflect upon that a minute, and let's kind of bring everybody back to center, if you will.
Well, first of all, Steve, it's my honor to be here with you again today. Enjoy getting to hang out with you. We get to cut up, and we talk offline a lot, so it's pretty fun, and enjoyed working with you. And I will tell you this, I appreciate your heart for the community and because you want to get the word out yourself. And I appreciate that. So when we talked the other day on the phone, I was sharing with our church yesterday, I think you watched it, but that you had asked, hey, would you talk about the real meaning of Christmas, about his, what he came for? And I was like, you know who you're talking to. That is my favorite thing in the world to talk about, is Jesus.
And you said, yeah, I think I can handle that for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think I can handle it. So we only got 30 minutes.
With a couple of breaks.
Let's get to it. So as I was sharing with our church yesterday, really over the last couple of weeks, including 3 weeks of Christmas messages, at Christmas we can get caught up in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful we don't let the world overtake what it happens to be about, which is Jesus. We all know he's the reason for the season. And so when I talk to the church and to our people, You can miss it because of the stress of Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all worried about gift giving and making sure we get the right gift for the right person. And then there's the financial aspect of it all.
Do we have the money?
Do you have the money to pay for this Christmas mm-hmm. stuff that you want? And then you don't want to let anybody down, so you really go. Then you stress over that. Then let's just throw in all the parties, all the hubbub of Christmas, the decorating and all that. And that's great. I like all that. I like the decorations. I like the gift giving. And I just think we have to be careful that we don't get so stressed out. And then, wait, there's one other group I want to mention during this time of year is those that have lost loved ones.
Yes.
It drums up a lot of memories for them. And good memories. I'm not saying it's not bad memories, good memories. But it also, for some people, really distracts from what we're here for.
Well, I mentioned my grandmother. I mean, going every year and having the food and the festivities, and now right. That's not possible.
Well, you know, my wife does something. She learned this from her grandparents. She bakes a cake for Christmas, and then we sing happy birthday to Jesus mm-hmm. with our grandchildren, and that's pretty cool, you know. And it just is a reminder, this is why we're here. So I would say for those, all the hustle and bustle of Christmas that we can, the world can so convolute it, and I think that's just a ploy by the devil himself, but we get so caught up in the season that we actually will miss what we're there. I tell people when they're getting married, hey, don't miss your wedding, you know, because you're so busy planning for the wedding that you blow right past your wedding. So mm-hmm. enjoy the moment. And so we're here to remember why Jesus came. And so yesterday I shared with the church three quick points. One point is it was foretold he was coming. We know he was coming because of the scriptures. Isaiah points to it. He'd be born, tells us where he'd be born. He'd be born in Bethlehem. Told us how he'd be born. He'd be born of a virgin. I mean, it just lays it out scripturally from the Old Testament. And I say this a lot to our church. What's the best commentary on the Bible? It's the Bible. It's its own commentary. You can read the Old Testament, will proof text the New Testament. And how do we know something's true? If it said it was going to happen thousands of years ago, and then it happened, and the Bible predicts that 364 prophecies of Jesus' first coming, that he would come, how he would come, what would happen during his lifetime, all those things. So they happened.
So the and proof, the first was in Genesis 3:15.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that early in Scripture.
Early on, it predicted what would happen, when he would come, how he would come, what would happen during the reign he was here. Right down to very small details, riding in on a donkey. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, all these things that we hear about him that were foretold way before he was born. And then it shows up and it all happens. So Deuteronomy yesterday, I shared with the church, Deuteronomy says, how do you know something's true? How do you know what the prophet's saying are true? Well, if the prophet says something's going to happen and it doesn't happen, well, that wasn't true. But if it does happen and it was foretold, it's true. So all these prophecies foretold Jesus, how he would come, when he would come, where he would come, all those things.
364
prophecies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that point to his first coming. So, which is very encouraging because there's twice as many about his second coming.
A reason not to disconnect the old from the New Testament.
That's right. You got to have it connected. So if he came the first time, that means he's coming the second time. So that's what that tells me. So the truth is there. Well, so we know it's foretold. But then we have there was an illumination. There was a light said it was going to come into the world. Well, you get the, you know, we all tell the story about the wise men, and they're following this star. And then the star, the Bible says the star moved. And these wise men were actually astronomers. They were not of Jewish descent. They were Arabic.
Persians, yeah.
Yeah, they're Persian. They're Arabic. So they come from the east, and they're looking. They're following this star that shouldn't be there, and they know it. But it's moving. The star is moving because it says, if you read it carefully, the star moved and took and sat right over where Jesus was at. And it said, and when they found him, they were exceedingly grateful. So they find him. They're joyful. So they found him. But how did that happen? There was a light that led them right to. And so when I see that, Jesus says in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, man, it's just a big deal to know. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. So we know that that was his plan. That was his purpose, was to come. But then we had the third level. And that third level was the angels' proclamation. They proclaimed that it was time. So when the angels appeared to those shepherds out in the field. And, you know, I connected dots yesterday. I got to thinking about this. That's where King David was, in that same field, the shepherd's field. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, you know, I shared this with the church. I just yesterday, but it's been on my mind. They proclaim, and you guys are in the radio business here, and music and all those things. They claim the largest Christmas concert ever in history was done by Mariah Carey in 2023, sold 214,000 tickets, and it was called Merry Christmas, Come One, Come All. So, grossed over $30 million.
Yeah, her biggest claim to fame.
Yeah, and they claim that that's the largest Christmas concert ever. I disagree. The largest Christmas concert ever actually took place in Bethlehem in the midnight sky. And you see where it says the heavenly host began to sing. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So we see that. That was the concert of all concerts that produced, hey, he's here. So they told him, they said, by the way, he's over there in the manger. Go find him. And so they run, they find him. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but you do you know that that's not what we picture? We always picture these little wooden troughs with hay, and that's where it was actually a feeding trough that's made out of stone. That's where he was. That was the manger. And so there's a lot of connections there. I know we don't have time to go into all that stuff, but it is incredible the connections a shepherd would have known to find. That's why they appeared, and they said, hey, go find them. And so they go find this baby, and they knew where to go. They knew where he was at. And so you'll find him in the manger. Well, they knew what that was. So they ran to it. And so Bethlehem's not that big of a city anyway, but especially 2,000 years ago. So you have...
It's actually just like a small, nondescript kind of town, isn't it?
I mean, it was then.
Yeah.
It was very small. It wasn't big at all.
Yeah.
So now there's a city on top of the city. It sits above it. It's pretty big. Under Palestinian control.
Right.
So I've been there several times, but beautiful place. It's just an awe-inspiring to see those things and to stand in that shepherd's field where you know King David once stood. You also know that's the shepherd's field where the angels appeared to the shepherds. Now, how do you know? It was funny. I asked my guide, I said, well, how in the world do you know that? How do you know this is the place? And he said, because there's only one shepherd's field in Bethlehem, and it's always been right here. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty cool to see those things are all connected from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So I find it interesting. And by the way, shepherds in 2,000 years ago were the lowest of society. People would get on the other side of the street when they saw them coming because they've been around the animals, they smelled. And so people would avoid the shepherds.
Sheep supposedly stink.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say this. Isn't it interesting that God would appear to the shepherds? And the angels appeared. I mean, how would that have made them feel? It says, unto you a child is born. That's what the angel said to the shepherds, unto you. Now, we know that's unto us, the world, but unto you, they had to feel like, man, you're talking to us? You know, so I would even say that during Christmas, if you feel desperate, lonely, and downtrodden, pushed away by society, man, I mean, it was unto you a child was born, because it doesn't matter. So Jesus came, he did exactly, it was exactly as it was foretold. It happened. So that tells me that everything that happened throughout his life that was also foretold is going to be finalized. Well, his death, burial, and resurrection. It was all there. It was predicted. It happened just like they said it would happen. And then he rose from the dead. And what did Jesus say? Anyone who believes in me shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. So all the way through this, beginning to end, I mean, from 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, well, longer than that, we can go back 3,500 years ago to Genesis, and we can bring it all the way through into today. It's still there. That's the best news about our Bible. It doesn't change. It hasn't changed. It is the number one sold book every year in the world. It's still the Bible.
We're going to have to take a break. We're going to be back with more with Dr. Kevin Williams, pastor of First Baptist Church, Villarica, as we kind of recenter and focus on the reason for Christmas, and we'll be back with more after this.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be, too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. We're very pleased to have in studio Dr. Kevin Williams, pastor of First Baptist Church of Villarica. What was I going to try to say? Villarica.
Villarica.
Like a VR, we are VR. And we're talking about Christmas and trying to kind of recenter and remember why we celebrate Christmas. Because the greatest gift ever given was given to us at Christmas when the Son of God came down, took on flesh, and some say the humiliation of becoming at one of us in the sense, the God-man, and going through all the tortures and traumas of and trials and tribulations on this earth, but he overcame.
That's right.
And so that is indeed the greatest gift ever given, is it not?
It is. And, you know, we talk about gift giving during Christmas. I mean, that's really, I mean, everybody talks about what gift you're going to get or what gift you're giving.
What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want? What do you want for Christmas? Well, so when you think about gift, think about on that night, you'll find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes. So wrapped. I told the church yesterday, they all laughed at me. I said, but when I was a kid, I didn't want something handed me in a bag. You know, I wanted to be able to rip it open as a child. Now, as you get an adult, you want the bag. It's just easier. It's easier for everybody. It's easier to put it in it and hand it to somebody. But the gift was wrapped, the gift of eternity. Now, I love John. We all know John 3:16. Most people can quote it, even if they don't go to church. They can quote that verse. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So there's a gift from God to us. And then that gift was the gift of eternal life. So, you know,
finish out. So whosoever.
Yeah. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right.
So there's the gift is everlasting life. It's eternal life. So I would say the greatest gift ever given on earth came 2,000 years ago by way of a virgin in a manger with uncommon animals and uncommon place. Everything about it was uncommon, everything. But it was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to this earth, that he came. And then so through that, he lived a life 33 and a half years here on this earth. Had his 12 disciples, much more than that, but 12 that he worked with mainly. So those 12, he poured his life into that would then ultimately change the world. And so that was the goal. Well, but what the ultimate goal took place at his death. And, you know, we get to Easter, that's coming, right? But so we know he's born, that was the greatest entrance into the world, but then his exit is what saves the world. And that was where he shed his blood at Calvary, gave his life as a ransom for many. That's what it says, that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the greatest news on earth. That's why we call it the gospel, the greatest news ever. All you got to do is believe. Just believe. That's what he says. Those who believe and repent and place their faith and trust in him, because he did raise from the dead on the third day. You know, he died on that cross. He's placed in a barred tomb. And on the third day, he got up and he walked out of that tomb, overcoming death, hell, and sin, so that anybody can place their faith and trust in him, believe in him, they can have eternal life.
Because we did have the sin problem when Adam fell.
That's right. Have you ever thought about this? And I've taught on this many times, but learned this in seminary, but it's probably one of the greatest things. What was God's plan? When man fell, there's this plan, this ultimate plan to get back to man, back to God, and God to man. So it all starts with, when he fell, it said, remember, he walked with them in the coolness of the garden. Well, then the fall takes place. Well, then he traveled with them in a pillar of smoke, mm-hmm. pillar of fire. Then what happens? Then he starts the tabernacle. He goes into the tabernacle, meets with Moses. Well, the tabernacle is a beginning step to the temple. So we get to the temple, it said God rested inside of the, behind the veil. Well, we know when Jesus comes, it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And when Jesus died, the temple veil was torn top to bottom, revealing that God is now with us. But then there was this new thing, as close as he could get. So he keeps getting a little closer. He was with us, but Jesus said, I must go to the Father because the one that comes after me is the Holy Spirit. And he can do something. He can live inside you. So God's plan has been to get us back, mm-hmm. get back to man back to him. How does he do it? It ends with the Holy Spirit. When you profess him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and he changes your life inside out. Mm-hmm. The Bible says we judge a man from the outside in. We look at him and think how great they are from the outside in. But God says he's not looking at that. He says, I judge them from the inside out.
And he's the one that can see the heart perfectly.
That's right. And he knows us. Mm-hmm. He knows us from the inside out. He knows who we really are and what we really think and what we really do behind closed doors. And that's where you just have to understand he's righteous and we're not. Mm-hmm. So why is it the greatest gift ever given? Because it gives us a chance to get back to him fully. And then what did he say? Behold, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance to get back to mm-hmm. him. But you got to repent of your sins, and you got to believe. Mm-hmm. That's the only way.
And talk a little more about eternity. I mean, we're talking eternity.
Yeah.
In paradise.
Well, if you think about it, life's like a vapor. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. Life's James. Like a vapor. Yeah. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Life's short. It's a breath, mm-hmm. you know, compared to eternity. And so as a preacher, you know, my thing is, why would people gamble with that? And they do. A lot of people, they just don't believe. And that's fine. Nobody can make you believe. God doesn't want that. That's why there's this thing called free will, so that you can choose. But he wants you to No, there is a way to get back, but for you to not choose him is that's a bad situation, because eternity, as you said, is a long time. I had a professor describe it this way. I thought this was pretty neat. He said, if you could take a helicopter, get it up high enough, and go over a mountaintop with a sheet, and you could do that back and forth until you leveled that mountain with a sheet. So, I mean, obviously, that'd take forever. And he said, that's 1 second in eternity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I mean, that kind of puts it in perspective because mm-hmm. you're talking forever. So mm-hmm. forever in eternity, is it worth? So that's why we have this life here on earth, to make a difference while we can. Why am I planting churches in foreign countries? Why are we doing all the things we're doing? Is to try our best to make a difference. The Bible says we're to take the gospel to the nations. And so that's what we do. You know, I'm out there beating the bushes around the world, trying to reach people, not just here in Villarica and West Georgia, but around the world. We want to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world that needs help.
And the gospel is?
Jesus saves.
The good news.
It is the good news. It is the only hope.
Power of God unto salvation.
What, Steve, let me ask you this. If you had the answer to cancer, you knew it. You knew how to defeat it once and for all. So many people we know die from cancer. Mm-hmm. But you had the cure, mm-hmm. but you didn't tell anybody.
You didn't share it.
You got to share that. Mm-hmm. So it's the greatest news ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not up to you to make. Listen, I say this all the time. You can't make a horse drink. You can lead him to water. My job's to lead him to the water and tell him the truth. Show him the light. Show him the way. And then let them make their decision.
Our guest this morning has been Dr. Kevin Williams, pastor of First Baptist Church, Villarica. We want to thank him for coming in and kind of refocusing this week onto the good news.
Merry Christmas.
Of the birth and death, burial, and resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God the Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust you and your family will be blessed this week. And on behalf of the entire church at First Baptist Villarica, VR, we wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. And with that, the standard outro, go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.